Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. Definitely go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Snag your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. I really threw in a lot of highly testable clinical pearls that you can definitely take advantage and study from, certainly. So if you're out in clinical practice, might just be a good refresher of things that you'll come across and that you'll see periodically. So go take advantage of that. We'll send you updates when we've got new podcasts, as well as any new content that we've created and put out as well. So let's get into the topic today. The drug I wanted to cover was olanzapine. Brand name of this medication is Zyprexa. Mechanistically, how does this medication work and what does it do? First off, it's an antipsychotic, of course, and it blocks dopamine, specifically D2, dopamine 2 receptors, as far as how it helps with some of these symptoms of psychosis associated with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and things of that nature. So main uses are that schizophrenia, also things like mania associated with bipolar disorder. In addition to that mechanism of dopamine blockade, olanzapine has some antihistamine type activity, possibly some alpha blocking activity, as well as some serotonin antagonist activity as well. So not necessarily, you know, the cleanest of mechanisms, so to speak, and that relays into some of the adverse effects that you might see. And again, a lot of the adverse effects are dose dependent, as they are with many different medications. But first, I wanted to mention EPS. So that's the top adverse effect that you're likely going to hear about associated with antipsychotics. Now, olanzapine is a second-generation antipsychotic, so definitely, you know, not near as bad as a drug like haloperidol as far as those extrapyramidal symptoms go. One thing that differentiates olanzapine in the class of second-generation antipsychotics, so remember, that's quetiapine and risperidone, aripiprazole, so all those different second-generation drugs, is olanzapine is notorious for weight gain, and it's also higher on the list as far as sedation goes. So that's two, I think, really important things to remember. If you've got an at-risk schizophrenic that's already overweight, obese, maybe they have diabetes or elevated lipids, for example, olanzapine's probably a drug we're going to try to steer clear of, compared to some of the other agents that might not be as tough on the metabolic adverse effect profile list there. So definitely remember that, you know, elevations in blood sugar, elevations in cholesterol. And while that is associated as a class effect of antipsychotics, olanzapine is high up on the list. So remember sedation and weight gain for sure there. Other kind of generic adverse effects that certainly are associated with olanzapine, but maybe not as high as some of the other agents, QTC prolongation, elevated prolactin levels, hypotension. Remember, there's potential that it can have some alpha-blocking type activity, and then anticholinergic activity as well. I generally think of this a little bit more so if I've got a patient who's already on anticholinergics. We could add on to that anticholinergic burden there. And then rarely antipsychotics are associated with neuroleptic malignant syndrome. Again, extremely rare there. Dosage forms I did want to mention. Obviously, the most often most used dosage form that I see is simply just the tablet, but there is a long-acting injectable, Zyprexa Relprev, it's called. and I don't see it used very often. And I think the reason is there's a warning with that long-acting injectable that's given every 2 to 4 weeks usually, where the patient actually requires 3 hours of observation at a healthcare facility following administration of the drug. So there's delirium and sedation risk associated right after that long-acting injection. So I think that's an important thing to remember, just in case you do happen to see that drug. They're likely getting it in clinic or within a healthcare institution of some capacity there. Always remember, of course, with any antipsychotic as well, another warning, increased mortality risk in those elderly patients with dementia-related psychosis. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, BCACP, BCGP, or BCMTMS, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. In addition, we've got links to our NAPLEX content. So again, go check out meded101.com/store. If you're not a pharmacist, we've got books there as well. We've got recent drug interaction book for primary care folks. If you're a dietitian or other healthcare professional looking for kind of a reference guide on drugs, recently put out a drug-food interaction book. So go check that out for sure. Again, all these links at meded101.com/store. And lastly, I've got Audible books there as well. So you can get your first one for free. Drug interaction book is a good one to potentially start with. A 10-hour audio book you can get for free if you've never tried an audible.com book. So again, all those links, meded101.com/store. So continuing on drug interactions, remember that olanzapine is metabolized by CYP1A2. So this will help you remember some interactions. And if you remember tizanidine from a previous podcast episode, tizanidine is also broken down by CYP1A2. And one of the major medications that inhibits CYP1A2 is ciprofloxacin. Okay, so ciprofloxacin can inhibit CYP1A2 and raise concentrations of olanzapine. So good one to definitely remember there. Other things to think about, fluvoxamine is a CYP1A2 inhibitor. That's Luvox. It's an SSRI, rarely used due to significant drug interactions there. One unique adverse effect, drug interaction, is smoking cessation. And I actually did a blog post on this at meded101.com, where it was a case study where a patient stopped smoking and it caused olanzapine concentrations to go up, causing adverse effects from the drug. So cigarette smoking, actually induces CYP1A2. So in this case scenario, when they stopped smoking, they lowered the activity of CYP1A2, which allowed more olanzapine to hang around and cause adverse effects, like sedation, for example. So really interesting case. You can go check out, if you just Google search smoking cessation and olanzapine, MedEd 101, you should be able to find that article. It is a good, unique one to remember, because most people certainly don't think of smoking cessation as having negative effects, but certainly in this case, it did have a negative impact on the olanzapine concentration. So very, very rare adverse effect, unique adverse effect. A good reason to have a pharmacist on the team looking at these things and thinking about it. Of course, with drug interactions, you got to think of those additive effects. Of course, sedation you know, your alcohol, your benzos, your opioids, things of that nature, other CNS depressants, anticholinergic burden. I kind of alluded to that before. Additive effects from dopamine blocking agents. In clinical practice, metoclopramide is probably the one I see used most often for, you know, gastroparesis or something like that. And then, of course, QTC prolongation. So antipsychotics can prolong the QT interval. So we need to think about agents that can potentially add to that and or risk factors that a patient might have. And also hypotension. So if you got a patient on numerous blood pressure medications, fall risk, things of that nature, you got to remember that olanzapine could definitely add to that potential risk. All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up for today. I thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, picked up a clinical pearl or two, leave us a kind rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Also, share us with your classmates, friends, colleagues, students, whoever you have around you that enjoys learning different things about pharmacology and healthcare and medications. So I appreciate all of you who have done that and helped this podcast grow to what it's become. So, and again, support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. Greatly appreciative to those of you who have done that. If you want to track me down, find me at LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. And I am going to sign off for today, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.